freedom to folks with trauma. But Selma is always on my heart. As a matter of fact, your bishop gave me, I call it a piquette. I'm sorry. I don't know what it's called. What is it? Zucchetto. He gave me a zucchetto last time I was here as a picture of the fact that he always prays for me. And so that's on my devotion. I have a little place, kind of like a little altar in my office that has some special things, and that's right there. So just want to thank you again for your continued prayer for me. It's such a joy to be here, and I consider it a real privilege and honor to be welcome to come back again. So I'm really happy today that I'm here. That's going to be a great day today. So thank you for your prayers for Roxanne as well. She, the last few years, she's been through two hip surgeries. She's had both hips replaced. So she's a bionic woman. I can tell this joke. So she says, you know, the doctors told us that the hip replacements that themselves cost $50,000 apiece. And she says, see there, when I die, you have to cut those out of me, and then you can sell those on the internet, and that's when you get to bury me. So there you go. I don't know if you have jokes like that among you, but I do. We have a little dark sense of humor every once in a while. But she's doing much better, and thank you for your prayers for us. We just concluded There Is More in Birmingham. There's actually been a shift within the Cold Awakening Ministry where we really have a commitment to doing significant events in the South, the southern part of America. Many of you know a few years ago we were in Orlando, and then we were in Nashville, and then that kind of ended for us. And then last year, this is a brand new event called There Is More. It's really about going after the anointing and just the more of God, whatever God has in store for us. So we were here last year, we were here this year. We're either going to be here or in Nashville next year this time as well. But it is because of God is continuing to expand our influence in terms of Cold Awakening in the whole southern region of the United States. Because there is a revival happening in the southern region of the United States. Could I get an agreement in the room, anybody? And Selma, I hashtag Selma Revival again this morning because it's happening here as well. So I just bless you guys in Jesus' name. Before I go further, I'm betraying my ready heart for this knowledge, so I have to go after this. First of all, if you have had a complicated diagnosis that your doctors have been told that it's either difficult to treat or impossible to treat, they don't know what to do with it, would you just stand up right now? Is there anybody in the room that has that? You have a difficult diagnosis or something that is difficult for the doctors to treat. Would you just stand right now? Come in power, Holy Spirit. Would you just extend your hands out to these folks in Jesus' name? Come in power, Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you that this week is the 7th anniversary of my brother-in-law's diagnosis of stage 4 glioblastoma brain tumor. I thank you that you told me that Brian was going to live and not die from that brain tumor, and that God, you completely delivered him from that brain tumor. And this is the 7th year anniversary of his healing, and he was only given 15 weeks to live. So, Father, on the basis of that, I declare in Jesus' name a reversal of the attack of the enemy against every one of these men and women of God in this room right now in Jesus' name. Is there a diagnosis of a heart problem with anybody here? Is there a diagnosis of a heart problem? Okay, right here. Okay, that's right. Right, so with you as well. So in Jesus' name, I just declare right now healing of the brokenhearted in the name of Jesus. Valves to be repaired. The electrical impulses that you were created to carry to be restored in Jesus' name. And right now, by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, every single weakness in heart muscle tissue be restored and healed by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And restoration in Jesus' name. I break the power of every cancer diagnosis. I break the power of every neurological diagnosis in Jesus' name. I declare in the name of Jesus, he has not had the final word on your condition. And by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, we declare healing. We declare restoration. I break the power of any spirit of affliction that has been afflicting the people of God with these diagnoses. And I say, be restored and healed and transformed. All pain go. All neurological pain, all kind of pain that's attached to either tumor growth or something else, be gone in Jesus' name. And I just declare freedom of movement with no pain in the name of Jesus. I pray. All God's people said,
amen.
Okay, good. I got that off. That's good. Hallelujah. Hey, guys, Luke back there. I'm not going to do the war against identity PowerPoint. I want to do the healing PTSD, the barn, if you would. I want that PowerPoint instead. So one of the things that I get to do in my free time from Global Awakening, for those of you that don't know, I'm the director of education for Randy Parks Ministry, Global Awakening. So I direct the Global School of Supernatural Ministry, as well as a lot of our online certification programs. And then about 5 years ago, God just gave me a download about how to pray for folks with trauma and to bring healing to trauma, because trauma is a soul injury. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 4 that his mission was to come and declare good news to the poor and to the afflicted, to the victimized and the traumatized. And the primary manifestation of that is that the brokenhearted would be healed. So this morning I want to talk with you a little bit about that. I felt very strongly as I came in the door that this was the subject that the Lord wanted me to just go after again this morning. I know I've touched on this subject before here, so for those of you that are here, just this is a refresher, but what God has given me to do in this ministry called God Heals PTSD, that's under the Hutch International Ministries umbrella, is I go around the country as well as many six nations, and I train people in how to pray for folks with trauma. That trauma is something that is endemic throughout the entire human race. I'm going to, everybody has trauma. Turn to somebody and say, everybody has trauma.
Everybody has trauma.
So if you think you're a Lone Ranger, you've been deceived. Everybody has trauma one way or another. The question is it still affecting you? Does it still haunt you? Is it something that's still impacting your life? And what I came to realize, I want to tell you something. How many of you know that God, everybody look at me, let's say this to you all right now. It's a very important thing for you to hear this. God has much more in store for you than what's even on your radar yet. I was 58 years old when I stepped into the position at Global Awakening as director of education. And I thought, oh, great, I get to serve Randy Clark, I get to do this education thing. And trauma wasn't even on my radar. But I told Jesus, whatever he led me, I would go. And whatever he told me to do, I would do. And so I was given an assignment by Randy Clark in November 2012 to pray for an Iraqi war veteran who was suffering from PTSD. I had no clue how to pray for him. But John Wimber taught us that whenever you get ready to pray for somebody, you pray, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do here? That's a good prayer for all of us to pray, right? Let's practice that. Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? Because many times he has much more in store, or there's things behind. Somebody may come forward with a medical issue, but the reality is there's something behind that that needs to be dealt with. So I asked him what he wanted to do. He gave me a download. I prayed that thing. The guy got completely healed of all symptomology of trauma, including chronic nerve pain, sleeplessness, and suicidal ideation. He went on to begin to pray for other veterans and seen over 75 veterans and active military personnel heal of symptoms of PTSD, and he started up his own retreat ministry in Flower Mound, Texas, and is doing awesome. So I'm like, well, that's great, God. Praise God, that's wonderful. And then I began to have an opportunity to go and pray for people who had trauma, and over the past 5 years, I have personally seen over 2,300 people healed of the symptomology of PTSD and or trauma. Both military veterans, first responders, domestic abuse, sexual abuse, all of that. People who've been in natural disasters, people who've been in 9/11. But the Lord gave me a really clear word that I was not supposed to be the man that everybody came to pray for people. Because how many of you know that I would be overwhelmed by that, right? Because once again, what did we start out with? Everybody has problems. how trauma is something that's so endemic, it's an epidemic proportion in our society. It's causing not only, many of you know the statistic, that there are 22 veterans, refugees, and soldiers that commit suicide daily in this country. But also, it really is the opioid epidemic that we talked about that's epidemic throughout our country, I believe has its roots in the trauma that people carry. Because people are looking to have their pain healed. And because of all the substances that are readily available in our society, people have gotten hooked on them, and because of that, so many people are dying. So I want to say to you that we need to understand something. That our theology about who God is, about what He desires for us, and what His original plan for humanity, needs to get straightened out. Because we've had a lot of religion that has said, well, you know, God puts things on you to teach you a lesson. God puts things on you and lets things happen to you so that you'll become a better Christian. You know, we have all this crazy theology that kind of makes God a schizophrenic God. I mean, on one side, He says He loves us and He sent His Son Jesus to die for us. And then on the other side, He says, well, God put cancer on you to make you a better Christian. I mean, that's crazy talk. It's just crazy. It just is. But you hear it in Christian religious circles on a regular basis. We try to explain sometimes unexplainable. Well, why don't we just make it clear that the reality is that we're not living in the dream of God that He had for this earth or for humanity, but Jesus came to restore that dream. And when we read in the Gospels this morning that Jesus came to say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, He's anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted, to the poor. He came to declare healing to the brokenhearted, liberty to captives, freedom to those who are in prison, to declare the favorable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God. He came to declare that those who were in mourning would be comforted, those who had sorrow would receive the oil of joy, those who were living in ashes would instead receive beauty, those who were living under the heaviness of trauma would receive a mantle of praise, and then there would be an identity switch from those who were the oppressed, the afflicted, the victimized, the traumatized, the captives and the prisoners. That had been their identity, but because they heard the good news and they received the ministry of Jesus, they instead would have an identity as an oak of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He would be glorified. That's all of Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. So that's the ministry of Jesus. That's what we're all about here in the church. But we need to understand that because living with trauma is never something that Jesus ever intended for you and I to have to carry for the rest of our lives. Thank you. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, I was raised Baptist. Anybody raised Baptist? Anybody? So anything about the kingdom, anything about abundant life, anything about the blessings of God, we had an eschatology, that is the theology of end times, that said, well, that's all going to come when Jesus comes back again. So in the meantime, just get saved, go to church every Sunday, pay your tithe, be a good Baptist boy, and, you know, pray for the rapture to come. You know, come and rescue us, Jesus. Come and get us out of this mess any minute. And so, you know, I don't know about you, but I came to Christ in the midst of the Jesus movement in the 70s. And that was a big thing, the Jesus movement. Jesus is coming back any second. So get ready. You know, we did rapture practice. We did this rapture practice. You know, we're getting ready for Jesus to come and take us. The problem is that it relegates all the blessings of the kingdom to a future millennium. When the reality is Jesus came and said, the kingdom of God is here right now. And so what we've been living in is a subnormal Christianity where, yes, there is tribulation. Thank you for that word today. That there is tribulation. But Jesus said, in the world you're going to have tribulation. If you're not, I will overcome the world. But in the midst of that tribulation, it doesn't mean that we carry the wounds of that. So the title of the seminar that I did, is called Healing the Wounds of Life and War. That you were never meant to carry the wounds of all the bad stuff that's happened to you, all the things that the enemy has brought your way. And probably one of the best examples of somebody who really did live a traumatized life, as far as I'm concerned, is the most traumatized person in the entire Bible, thanks to Jesus. And his name is David. I know y'all thought I was going to say Job. Well, I want to tell you it's David because Job's trauma, although he was severely traumatized, it only lasted a few years. And he recovered everything and more so that was lost in that thing. But David was somebody who lived the majority of his life in lots and lots of trauma. Even though he was a man after God's own heart, David had a lot of things happen to him. You know, in Psalm 34:18, David writes this. He says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit." The first time we see David, the prophet Samuel is sent to the house of Jesse to anoint the future king of Israel. And when Samuel comes into the house, he invites Jesse to bring out all his sons. And so Jesse brings out all his sons, all his sons. And he gets down the line and finally says, "Somebody's not here." And Jesse says, "Well, there's David. He's out shepherding the sheep." A lot of biblical commentators believe that in that was a statement by Jesse that David was not fully considered a full son of the house. That he might have been the product of another relationship with David, with Jesse and a concubine or with somebody else. But in other words, he was not accepted as a full son of the house. And there's this just sense of identity where you're not really given the identity in the sense of, hey, I belong to this family. Now, folks, parents are given the responsibility by God to give their children a sense of identity, a sense of purpose, a sense of belonging. It's where children learn how to trust is in the relationship with their parents. And when a child comes along who's not accepted by their parents, there's something traumatic that happens to the soul. It's what trauma experts call trauma A. I don't know why they call it that. There's trauma A and trauma B. But trauma A is that thing that you experience where your parents didn't give you everything that you needed to be whole as a human being. You didn't get accepted. You didn't have a sense of belonging. You didn't have a sense that you really had an identity or purpose. You were more tolerated than celebrated. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And what happens when that takes place in a child? It's the absence of what should have been given to you that creates like a hole in your soul. And it makes you less resilient to the difficult things in life. You kind of feel like you're a basket case all the time. You always feel needy. And you walk around not feeling a sense of identity and purpose. And David experienced trauma because he wasn't accepted as a full son of his house. It's something that we see a lot in our society today, where we have children whose parents, either they're come from a single family home, they've been adopted, they've just had lots of trauma in the family itself. And children just don't get the thing that they need to walk whole and healthy the way God intended us to be. David knew that kind of trauma. The next time we see David, he's bringing lunch to his brothers up on the battlefront. The next scene is the armies of Israel and the armies of the Philistines are deadlocked in battle in the Valley of Elah. And the Philistines have brought out their big guns, named Goliath. You all know the story. You were told this in bedtime, as you were going to bed. You were told the story. You've been read it. And so everybody's scared to death in the army of Israel, but David's there. He's there to deliver lunch to his brothers. His brothers are not happy that he's there. They continue to reject him. But David hears the threats that this giant is giving to the armies of Israel, and because he's developed a relationship with God. See, even if you're traumatized, God is still with you. God can be with you and help you. And David developed that amazing sense of the presence of God in his life. Because he had that sense of loyalty to God, he said, how in the world are we going to allow this dog to challenge armies of Israel? So he says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to step up. I'm going to step up to the plate. So instead of taking armor, instead of taking weapons, he takes a slingshot. It's killed a lot of animals, killed a lion and a bear and things like that. And he goes up to Goliath. You all know the story. He has dead on aim. He hits Goliath in the head and knocks down. And that, you know, that's a pretty good end to the Bible story. Trouble is, it's not the end. It's not really the end. Your mom and daddy didn't tell you the rest of the story. The rest of the story is David takes the sword and cuts the giant's head off. And it becomes a trophy of the victory. And, you know, Israel wins the day. God wins the day for Israel. And then we find out that Saul becomes jealous of David because there's a chant that's led throughout the land that says, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. And David becomes the champion of Israel, a bloody man of war. Whenever you experience something violent in your own life, whenever you witness something violent, whether you've been part of that, there are things that happen in this world, whether it's on the battlefield, whether it's in natural disasters, whether it's unnatural disasters like tornadoes and earthquakes, whether it's the physical or sexual abuse that so many children, young adults experience, whether it's car accidents, whatever, that's trauma beat. That's where something has happened in your life that has been so violent that it's actually impacted the way that you think about yourself, the way that you feel about yourself. And it's something that those memories and those images haunt you for all of your days, where we have things like flashbacks and nightmares and night terrors and things like that. We know that David experienced that kind of trauma as well. As a matter of fact, the way we know that David was really pretty traumatized is all you have to do, you don't even have to know his history. All you have to do is read through the Psalms. I mean, you know, the Psalms are a roller coaster ride of emotions. You know, David in one Psalm is praising God, giving thanks to God, he's full of joy. The next, he's so depressed and so anxious and so much in fear. And he says, God, you know, what's going on? Where are you? My God, why have you forsaken me? The next song, he's praising God and giving glory to God for all the beauty. And he's just so full of joy. And the next one, he's saying, God, my enemies are after me. Go out and cut their tongues out and pierce their hearts with a sword and arrow. You know, like you and I on a typical day, right? But it's this roller coaster ride that's very typical of somebody who's experienced a lot of trauma in their life. You have times of joy, but lots of depression, lots of anger, lots of rage, lots of stuff happening. And it's because you're carrying a broken heart for what's happening. Now, in our American Western society, the message that you're given is, and you're given this in the church, Bishop, you know this. Well, you just need to grow up and get over it. Vice stuff, just get over it. Trouble is, it's really hard to get over the fact that your parents allowed sexual abuse to happen at home. They were full of their own pain and transferred their pain to you. It's really hard to serve your country faithfully in an Asian battlefield. And not only did you see horrific things happening on the battlefield, but then you come home and you're shamed so much, called baby killer, so that you can't talk about the fact that you went and served your country faithfully. It's really difficult to go and serve your country on a battlefield in the Middle East and see your best friends killed, wounded, being firefights where everybody around you was killed. And you're supposed to come home and just live civilian life as if nothing happened. The reality is all of that is trauma. That's what the Bible calls broken hearts. David says in Psalm 147:3, he says, God heals the broken heart and he binds up their wounds. In the Passion Translation, it actually says, God heals all shattered hearts. See, you're, when the Bible speaks heart of heart, he's talking about your soul. And in your soul is the mind, is the will, and the emotions. It's where your identity resides. I like to talk about that like your soul is a glass mirror. And when you look in the glass mirror, you see a pretty good representation of who you are, how you seem to other people. And you can look at yourself and say, okay, there's mine. What trauma does is it takes that glass mirror and it throws it on the floor and shatters it in hundreds of pieces. And it so warps the sense of who you really are, of who you think you are, that you try to look in that shattered mirror to look for your identity, for who you are. And for those who have known trauma over and over and over again, you begin to think that the truest thing about you is your trauma. I don't know if you've ever talked to anybody who's had a lot of trauma in their life, but they like to talk about the trauma a lot. They kind of like to rehearse it over and over and over again. And the reason is, it's the only thing that they can find is the truest thing about themselves. But Jesus says that's the lie of the enemy. It's actually a demonic spirit of trauma that lies to people and says, the only thing that you were made for to be used and abused by the people. You're a trauma magnet. You might as well just realize that this is what your life is all about. And you can't really expect a whole lot out of life. Because this is just what life is going to hand you. You've been dealt a bad set of cards. You've heard all the slogans. You know, you wait for the next shoe to drop. You know, when you get a flat tire, you walk out of here today and you get a flat tire, and the first thing you say is, well, of course. Because after all, that's the course of your life, right? Things just bad happen to you all the time. You know, I remember, how many remember Hee-Haw? Anybody remember Hee-Haw? Bloom's fair at me on me. Deep dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom's fair and agony on me. Y'all remember those old boys, right? Yeah. But see, when trauma becomes part of your identity, that's the lens that you look for in life. You begin to not expect a whole lot. I mean, you may love God, walking with Jesus, you're on your way to heaven. But what you expect out of your day-to-day life is pretty limited because of the programming that you receive from all the trauma that you walk through. The good news that Jesus came to bring is that he's come to heal the broken heart, to bind up our wounds, to declare to us that it was never part of the dream of God for us to live with such trauma. But it's been part of the enemy's plan to steal, kill, and destroy the dream of God for our lives. And that when we begin to actually believe that and step into it, then we actually go after those unhealed parts in our souls that still keep us from believing, still keep us from trusting, still keep us from walking in the wholeness that is shalom of God that he intends for every one of us. How many of you know that the word shalom doesn't just mean it literally means wholeness of being. That means that it is a covenant blessing that God speaks upon his people when he says, it is my intention that you experience wholeness in every area of life. So turn to somebody and say, shalom. Did you do that?
Shalom.
It's not just about peace. It's about wholeness. Wholeness of body. Wholeness in relationships. Wholeness in finances. Wholeness in the way that you relate to the world. Wholeness in every area. That's what God's desire is for you. That's why he sent Jesus. He came to restore the dream of God for your life and for this world. That dream of God is called the kingdom of God. Where the rule and reign of God is, that's where all of God's promises are restored and brought into being. I want to show you a testimony real quick of a student. For those of you that are interested in this whole area of healing trauma and what I do, I've got a Facebook page called GodHealsPTSD.com. I've also got a Facebook page. The Facebook page is GodHealsPTSD, and the website is GodHealsPTSD.com. I've got resources about the seminar. That's available back there as well. If you want to, Brad is going to be back there doing the service. But I want you to hear this testimony and pick up what the student had to say about how trauma affected what he thought about himself. So let's show that right now.
I was in class, and I talked to Mike because they're talking about PTSD and trauma. And at the end of class, we started praying for everybody's brain to be rewired and started talking about how people have parts of their identity that were stolen from them, that's attached to them, that wasn't actually them. And at the end, I felt stuff going on in my mind. Like, I felt like it was, I guess, being rewired is the only thing I can explain. And I felt stuff going on in my spirit, and I didn't feel like there was a complete release. So at the end of class, I went up to a master and prayed with me. And whenever he started praying with me, he wouldn't let me look away from his eyes. And he started praying that my mind and everything would be rewired. He laid, he asked me if he laid his hand on my head, and he did. And I felt the power of God hit me, and I started seeing like the scenes and stuff that had happened throughout my life. Like, I've had trauma since I was 3 years old. Abusive father, I've had training, I've been a police officer, I've seen some things that basically caused me to have anxiety in certain situations and certain thoughts and everything that caused me anxiety. So he was praying for me, and I started seeing these scenes that had so much power over me start to be shattered. Like, it looked like glass, and it looked like a hammer was hitting me, and they were being shattered, and I was feeling like this release. I was feeling like all the power that they had over me was being released, and there was actually memories that I was actually forgetting. And after all of this, I felt the power of God hit me, and I fell to the ground. And while I was on the ground, I was shaking, and it actually was very uncomfortable. I was like, what's going on? And Mike discerned that it was that I was trying to hold on to something. He said, you need to let that go, son. He's like, that's not who you are. And whenever I stopped just to relax, I felt like 1,000 pounds lifted off of me. And it actually felt like a part of me had left. And it was, at that moment, I was like, what's going on? Like, I don't know what's going on. And a little bit later, I realized that it really, the demeanor is part of the personality that I picked up from the way that I was molded through life. It wasn't actually who I was. It's been a few weeks now, and since that point, people who are closest to me, I've noticed how I behave differently in different situations. Like, I couldn't have my back to a door without having extreme anxiety because I'm a police officer, you know. And certain situations that I've been through, people would bring them up, and they used to cause anxiety, and my anxiety would come out in the form of frustration. And they were like, wow, you're so different. You're not who I remember you being. Like, this is who you were always supposed to be. So, yeah, after Mike prayed for me, I would say that I finally know what freedom is. And I thought that I was always free. I thought that it was something that I was going to have to live with for the rest of my life. I just thought it was who I was. And I learned to cope. I thought that it would be something that would get better, or as I would, you know, go to more conferences or whatever, like, Holy Spirit would come, and I would learn how to deal with these situations different. But they just left because they were never supposed to be a part of who I was. So I'm free.
You see, trauma, what you want to call it, post-traumatic stress, or whatever you want to call it, is not a mental disorder. It's not a mental disease. It's a soul injury. Your soul is been wounded. And what you've done is you've done everything that you possibly can to cope with that. As Joseph said, well, I figured I'm just going to have to deal with this, since this is part of who I am. But the reality is, you're listening to a lie. It's not part of who you are. It's something that happened to you. But the Word of God declares in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if any person is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has passed away. All things have become new. What that literally means is that whatever your history has been, whatever you have done, or whatever has been done to you, now no longer defines you. It means that your history was spoken over you that is not in agreement with God's word. The way that people have treated you and acted towards you, the experiences that you've had that have wounded you and hurt you, they no longer define who you are. Your definition comes from the one who brought Jesus into this world to save you, to heal you, and to restore you. God gets the greatest glory. We talk in the church a lot about suffering. There is suffering. There is tribulation. God gets glory from the fact that you are faithful to Him and you stay with Him even in the midst of suffering. But I'm telling you, God gets glory as well, and even a greater glory, when we allow Him to come and restore our wounded souls, and we actually begin to live all that Jesus died and paid for us. Bill Johnson of Bethel Church tells a story about, I don't think it's true, it's just an illustration, about a family, rural family, didn't watch TV or anything, didn't have internet, but they were given, they won through like a publisher's clearinghouse thing, a cruise on a cruise ship. Since they'd never taken a cruise or anything like that, they hadn't been given a lot of details. So the father, as a father and a wife and a couple of kids, said, well, you know, if you're going to be on this cruise ship, you've got to make sure that we've got everything that we need. So whatever reason, they didn't get the message that all their meals would be taken care of. So they went and they made up a bunch of crackers and cookies and peanut butter and cheese and everything like that, and they packed it away and put it in, and they got on this cruise ship, and they got in their stateroom, and they stayed in their stateroom the whole time because they had a nice little window view, and they thought, well, this is all the cruise ship. This is it. This is really cool. We get this for free. And finally, the steward that was assigned to them came and knocked on the door like the second or third day of the cruise and said, folks, we noticed you haven't been out of your stateroom. Anything wrong? Anything going on? They said, no, we're fine. And they were sitting there having a lunch of crackers and cheese. And he said, folks, how come you're eating that? He said, well, this is our meal. You know? I said, oh, no, you don't understand. So he took them out into the main part of the cruise ship and showed them all the buffets, all the restaurants, and all the suites, and all the things that come with the cruise ship. They said, this is part of what this is. All of this food, all of this entertainment, all of this luxury is also yours as well. And see, we've accepted a gospel that gets us to heaven, but doesn't allow us to begin to experience heaven on earth right here. And the reality is that God wants us to experience heaven on earth here so that we can help others experience heaven on earth as well. That through the testimony of our healing, of our transformation, that we can actually begin to be a blessing to others and show them that not only is heaven really good, but living on earth can be pretty good as well when you're doing it with Jesus Christ. But again, agreement. So David knew what it was to have lots of trauma in his life. You know, you continue to look at David and, you know, he makes some really bad choices. I mean, you know, the bad choices that David made. You know, he became an adulterer, and he became a liar, and he became a murderer. You know, he didn't take really good care of his family, and his sons and his daughters got really messed up. He had a really kind of, you know, it's one of those families that they put the fun in dysfunctional. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's really bad. You know, but finally one of his sons decides he wants to go after his dad and take over the kingdom and runs his dad out of town. I mean, David had all of this awful, awful trauma. And yet at the end, he was still called man after God's own heart. He's considered to be the primary champion in the Bible of somebody who wants to follow God. David the shepherd boy, David the king. So I want to say to you that maybe one of the reasons why you've experienced so much trauma in your life is because you have an incredible destiny in the dream of God for your life. That you've yet to experience the fullness of it. And I don't care how old you are. I mean, I was 58 when I went to go serve Randy Clark in ministry. I'm going to turn 65 this year, and I'm only beginning to see the dream of God for my life right now. So I don't care how old or young you are, there is more. There is more. But the first thing you've got to do is got to get this thing healed. You've got to get your soul healed. You've got to begin to believe what God's Word says about you and begin to understand that everything that God says about you is true. As a Baptist, the highest sense of identity that we could get is that we were children of God, but that we were sinners saved by grace. Anybody know that? Sinners saved by grace. There's a problem with that. First of all, it's not in the Bible. And secondly, although I'm saved by grace, what's my primary identity? I'm a sinner. What do sinners do? So then I couldn't really expect much out of me. Because after all, that's my identity, right? And yet Paul wrote to the churches in the New Testament. How many of you read any of Paul's letters in the New Testament? Anybody? How many of you know there's a bunch of messed up folks in those churches? I mean, the Corinthian church alone. I mean, they had sex problems. They were fighting with each other. They had political divisions. Months after Trump. Had lots of divisions. They got drunk in their love feasts, and they were fighting with each other. I mean, they were a mess. The Colossians were worshiping angels. But Paul writes to every one of those churches, to the saints in Corinth, to the saints in Colossae, to the saints in Thessalonica. You know what saints means? It means holy one. That he approached them not from their behavior or from their history, but from their identity, the way God sees them. And I'm saying to you that your Father sees you with a restored soul. He sees you with a healed heart. He sees you right now today as someone who's living in the fullness of the promise of the gospel of the kingdom, which means wholeness and restoration of the dream of God for your life. That means no anxiety or panic. That means no more depression. That means there's sweet sleep for you according to Proverbs 3:24. That is, because of the trauma that you lived in the past, you have difficulty sleeping at night. Guess what? The Bible provides for that as well. Proverbs 3:24 declares, because you walk in covenant with God, you shall no longer lie down in fear. But it's your Father's good pleasure to give his beloved sweet sleep. That means no more nightmares, no more night terrors. You actually get to sleep and sleep well because it's part of God's inheritance for you. Could I get an agreement in the room, anybody? Yeah, come on. That's there. I was in Birmingham, and this lady comes up to me and says, would you pray for me? And I said, sure, I'd be glad to. She says, well, 2 years ago, my children and I were in a boating accident. We were in this boat with somebody else, and the boat capsized, and we were thrown into the water, and we all nearly drowned. But we were rescued, thank God. But since then, she has horrific panic attacks and anxiety attacks. She couldn't sleep more than 2 to 3 hours a night, waking up with nightmares and night terrors and flashbacks, had a horrific insomnia. So she's on all this medication trying to deal with it. She can't drive over bridges because every time she sees the river or the water, she gets triggered. So I pray for her. I just pray what I always pray. I just say, Jesus, come and heal a broken heart. And she comes back the next day and first thing she does is she pulls out her phone and she pulls up her sleep thing on her phone and she shows me how she got 7 hours and 58 minutes of sleep that night in REM sleep. And she showed me over the past year how she had never gotten more than 2 to 3 hours of sleep any night. Completely free of all panic and anxiety. How many of you know that Jesus doesn't want you living with pain, anxiety, or fear? How many of you know that many of us carry chronic nerve pain because of the trauma that we've experienced and because the memories that are still there, the memories that we carry, actually set off our adrenal glands to pour out cortisol and adrenaline? This is proven by neuroscience. It trauma causes your brain to go on active overdrive, and it signals the adrenal glands to pour out cortisol, which is the stress hormone that actually inflames your nervous system, which is the origin of most fibromyalgia and chronic neuralgia pain. That's a proven scientific fact. How many of you know that Jesus wants to heal your mind and your brain and bring healing to your identity and your soul so that you don't have to live with that any longer in Jesus' name? So here's the good news. Jesus is here to heal your broken heart today. He's here to restore the dream of God for your life. And he's here to declare to you that you don't have to live haunted by your history anymore. I told you, everybody has trauma, but not everybody's haunted by it. If you're haunted by it, let's get free of it today. Let's allow the Spirit of God to come in power and move on you and set you free in Jesus' name. And help you to understand that you were never created to be a victim, to be oppressed, to be a captive, or to be put into prison. See, when Isaiah 61, and I'm going to say this one last thing, and I'm going to go to prayer. Isaiah 61 says this: the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted, the poor, the victimized, and traumatized. He has sent me heal the brokenhearted, and you declare liberty to the captives and freedom to prisoners. Those are two groups of people. The first group of people are captives, those who have had bad things happen to them, and they've been put into captivity, in kidnappings, in slavery, where they're in the chains and shackles of that which happened to them. They're held captive. Jesus says, "I've come to set the captives free. I've come to break the chains and shackles off of you of whatever happened to you so that you know that you are not identified as a slave." It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, that those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And we have not been given a spirit of slavery that leads to captivity, but we have been given a spirit of adoption that cries out, "Abba, Father." That is, we live full and perfect freedom. The second population is freedom to prisoners. How do you get into prison? You get into prison because you made bad choices. And you've been judged and you've been sentenced and you've been put into jail. Jesus says, "I've come to set those prisoners free as well." Many of you know that many of our friends who are addicted to drugs, and other people who were involved in substances or involved in pornography or involved in other things, many of them are doing it just to deal with their pain. Jesus says, "I've come to declare sentence canceled. I'm opening the prison doors and I'm saying to you, come out. You're forgiven. There's no more guilt or condemnation. You're free in Jesus' name." Liberty to captive. Whether you are a captive today, or whether you are a prisoner, or if you're both, there's healing for you today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So here's what we're going to do. You're going to keep your eyes open the whole time while I pray for you. And I'm going to walk around this room and I'm going to pray a corporate prayer over everyone. And if you'll allow the Holy Spirit to speak into your mind, break the power of these traumatic images and memories, you're going to walk out of here freer than when you walked. It's the Spirit of God come in power right now, in Jesus' name. Do not get religious on me. Don't close your eyes. Okay? Keep your eyes open. In Jesus' name, come in power. Come in power right now, in Jesus' name. But assume that everybody in this room, if you're not, I want to pray for you afterwards, specifically that you become Jesus Christ. For all of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, I say to you that the power of the blood of Jesus Christ is over you. And it cleanses you not only from all sin, but it also cleanses you from everything that's ever been done to you. So receive the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. sing the name of Jesus. I break the power of shame that is on you right now in Jesus' name. The shame that you carry because of the trauma that happened. The shame that you carry because of what was done to you. The shame that you carry because of the abuse that you suffered. And in Jesus' name, I break the power of shame off of you right now in Jesus' name. And I say to you, you have nothing to be ashamed of because the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you from all of that shame and set you free. None of his kids are having shame on them because they are saved, healed, and restored by the grace that he has given his kids in Jesus' name. I also say to you, I break the power of any guilt that you might carry for decisions that you made to try to deal with your pain. And in Jesus' name, I declare there is therefore not no condemnation because you're in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So in Jesus' name, no more guilt, no more condemnation. You're free, there's no regrets. Say this with me. I am.
No longer.
Defined by my history.
By
what I've done. Or
what has been done to me.
I am divine. By whom my Papa calls me. He calls me his beloved child. In whom he is well pleased. Now I'm going to keep praying for you, Father, in Jesus' name right now. I sever every single assignment against your children. I break the power of the spirit of trauma. Break the power of the spirit of torment. In the name of Jesus. I sever the power of the spirit of fear in Jesus' name. Make the separation with me.
God has not
given me a spirit of fear.
But
power,
love,
and a sound mind.
I have a sound mind
because I have the mind of Christ.
I think God's thoughts.
Therefore,
I'm not going crazy.
In Jesus' name.
So
I sever every single lie of the spirit of fear, of torment, of trauma. I sever the spirit of suicide, of anger, rage, and murder. I sever over every one of you who have been sexually violated in any way, shape, or form. I sever the soul ties between you and any person that violated you in Jesus' name. I close the door of access to any demons that were on the violator, the one who abused you. I declare to you that the evil that was on that person no longer has access to your soul any longer. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. All soul ties severed in Jesus' name. Now put your hand in your heart. Just get direct. Holy Spirit of God, I pray right now that you would come and bring healing to every shattered soul in this room. In the name of Jesus, would you know that you're no longer going to walk disintegrated, but integrated. You're going to walk as if nothing bad had ever happened to you because of the power of restoration of the new creation spirit that is in you through Jesus Christ. That you would feel no longer brokenhearted and bleeding, but instead that you would feel your wounds being healed, restored, and freedom so you can breathe deeply again. And anxiety and panic goes right now in Jesus' name. Now take your right hand and put it on right here or right here on your head. Can you do that? Are you okay? This is where neuroscientists tell us that's where all traumatic images and memories reside. And what happens with traumatic images and memories is that because they're so powerful, they have a tendency to short-circuit our memory processes. So a lot of us have short-term memory loss. A lot of us have difficulty remembering a lot of things of our past. The Lord's going to deal with those traumatic images and memories right now in Jesus' name. So Holy Spirit, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus to come. I declare every traumatic image and memory to dry up and die right now in Jesus' name. I sever the neural pathway that leads to those traumatic images and memories. And I also sever right now your five senses, seeing, your smelling, your tasting, your touching, and your hearing from being triggers to those traumatic images and memories. I speak healing to this portion of your brain. I speak to your memory center, and in Jesus' name I say, wake up! Wake up! Wake up! In Jesus' name, I speak and I declare healing to your short-term memory, and I declare restoration now in Jesus' name. I declare over you that you're going to begin to remember where you put your keys, where you put your phone, and where you parked. That in Jesus' name, short-term memory is coming back because, listen to me, neuroscience tells us that short-term memory loss is not a symptom of aging. It's a symptom of mind on trauma. And in Jesus' name, your mind is being healed of that trauma right now in Jesus' name. Now, Holy Spirit, come and fill every place that trauma is occupied. Come and fill every place where fear and doubt and panic and rage and anger have occupied. I declare if there's somebody in this room that you've been having suicidal thoughts and ideations, and you've been thinking about how to do it, and I'm saying to you, in Jesus' name, the spirit of suicide is broken off of you. Those thoughts are not of God, they're not from you, they're from a spirit that wants to kill you. And I'm saying to you, in Jesus' name, the door of access is being closed to that spirit of suicide, and you're no longer going to be thinking about putting an end to your life. You're going to be free from that in Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, that you would come by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and restore a sense of freedom, liberty, and the shalom of God upon every person in this room in Jesus' name. And they would walk out of here free. And I also declare over you Proverbs 3:24 that says, because you walk in covenant with God, you shall no longer lie down in fear, but at your papa's good pleasure, his beloved children's sweet sleep. That in Jesus' name, you will begin to experience, beginning tonight, 6 to 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep every night. No nightmares, no night terrors, no night sweats, but freedom in Jesus' name. Now one last thing. Say this with me. I am
a
new creation.
New creation.
The old has passed away.
All
things have become new. I am in Jesus. Jesus is in me. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I'm loved. I'm accepted. I'm forgiven. I'm adopted into God's family. I'm one of God's children. I am his beloved child in whom he is well pleased. I am no longer defined by my history, by what I've done, or what's been done to me. I am defined by who he calls me. He calls me his beloved child. And I love him. In Jesus' name. Somebody praise God, will you?